broadcasting from Liverpool to the northwest of England, North Wales, and beyond, this is MAR, Merseyland Alternative Radio, on AM and online at mar.me.uk. You can contact us through Facebook by searching MAR Pirates, email mar@rock.com, or text 07504 464 678. MAR, the continuing sound of free radio.
Merseyland Alternative Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Lee Morrison's Offbeat Rocker! And the time is now a minute past.
Hesitantly, reluctantly, Helen slipped out of her slim, tight-waisted waspy and stood naked in the moonlight before me. Somewhere a clock chimed three. An owl hooted in the nearby copse. No wind stirred the casement window as she stood in the pale, translucent light on the Persian carpet. A minute passed. Then another. Then another minute. Then another minute passed. Then another minute passed. And another. A further minute passed quickly, followed by another minute, when suddenly a different minute passed, followed by another different minute, and another, and yet another further different minute. A minute passed. I glanced at my watch. It was a minute past. This was it. A minute passed. After a moment, another minute passed. I waited a minute while a minute passed quickly past, and then a minute which seemed to last an hour but was only a minute passed.
That was A Minute Past by John Finlayson. You can hear episode 9 of A Minute Past tomorrow night at A Minute Past.
Soldier Freddy was never ready, but Soldier Neddy was always ready and steady. That's why when Soldier Neddy is outside Buckingham Palace on guard in the pouring wind and rain being ready and steady, Freddy is home in beddy.
We wish you a Merry Christmas from
the home of Liverpool's finest DJs, Merseyland Alternative Radio.
We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Right, said Fred, both of us together, one each end and steady as we go. Tried to shift it, couldn't even lift it. We was getting nowhere, and so we had a cup of tea. And right said Fred, give a shout for Charlie. Up comes Charlie from the floor below. After straining, heaving and complaining, we was getting nowhere, and so we had a cup of tea. And Charlie had a think, and he thought we ought to take off all the handles and the things what held the candles. But it did no good, well I never thought it would. All right, said Fred, have to take the feed off to get them feed off, wouldn't take a mo. Took its feet off, even took the seat off. Should have got us somewhere, but no. So Fred said, let's have another cup of tea. And we said, righto. All right, said Fred, have to take the door off. Need more space to shift the so-and-so. Had bad twinges, taking off the inches, and it got us nowhere, and so we had a cup of tea. And right, said Fred, have to take the wall down, that there wall is gonna have to go. Took the wall down, even with it all down, we was getting nowhere, and so we had a cup of tea. And Charlie had a think, and he said, look, Fred, I got a salt, a feeling. If we remove the ceiling with a rope or two, we could drop the bladder through. All right, said Fred, climbing up a ladder with his crowbar, gave a mighty blow. Was he in trouble? Half a ton of rubble landed on the top of his dome. So Charlie and me had another cup of tea, and then we went home. I said to Charlie, we'll just have to leave it standing on the landing, that's all. You see, the trouble with Fred is he's too hasty. Now, you never get nowhere if you're too hasty.
Gentlemen, I'm afraid it's official. Lee Morrison's off his rocker.
Ah, here it is, Christmas Eve, and still no offers of pantomime.
Yes, indeed, Lee Morrison's off his rocker. This is the show where I stop playing all the serious music for a little while and play some stuff that's very, very silly instead. Beginning with Monty Python and A Minute Past. Well, A Minute Past the half hour anyway, close enough. And then Spike Milligan from his rare album Muses with Milligan and Soldier Freddy. And finally Bernard Cribbins and Right Said Fred. You know, that'd be a good name for a band, wouldn't it? Yes, Bernard Cribbins, you may remember him as the narrator on The Wombles, or as the terribly rude hotel guest that Basil Fawlty mistakes for a hotel inspector. And more recently, he was in Doctor Who, of course. Anyway, thanks to Kelly Collins for the last 90 minutes, and now I'm here until 10 o'clock when Roger D will take over. And of course, because I'm playing comedy records tonight, there are certain artists who have to be included at all costs. For instance, Spike Jones.
Waterloo, she lives up the river. Waterloo, she makes my heart quiver. A pearl diver's daughter, and she's nuts about the water. Waterloo.
A drip, drip, drip.
Waterloo, she swims all the channels. Waterloo, she swims in red flannels. She dives like an otter, takes the water like a blotter. Waterloo.
Drip, drip, drip.
Well, I paddle up to see her every Sunday morning in my old canoe. And when I paddle home again on Sunday evening, I know I've met my Waterloo. Oh, Waterloo, she lives with the fishes. Waterloo, her kiss is delicious. I love her with passion, but she's always busy splashing. Waterloo.
Drip, drip, drip.
Dray up, dray up, dray up.
Up to see her every Sunday morning in my old canoe. And when I paddle home again on Sunday evening, I know I've met my Waterloo. Oh, Waterloo, she drinks only water. Waterloo, that other stuff got her. Her knees started sagging, now she's on the water wagon. Waterloo.
Trip, trip, trip.
Miss Rigby, Stella, my love, would you send in the next auditioner, please? Mr. Spigot, I believe it is. Mr. Spigot, please.
Oh.
Spigot?
Yes, Spigot, the name, Spigot by name, Spigot by nature.
Good, yes. Well, motionless for a moment. Now, Mr. Spigot, you are auditioning, are you not, for the part of Tarzan?
Right.
Now, Mr. Spigot, I couldn't help noticing almost at once now, you are a one-legged person.
You noticed that?
When you've been in the business as long as I have, Mr. Spigot, you get to notice these little things almost instinctively. Now, Mr. Spigot, you, a one-legged man, are applying for the role of Tarzan.
Right.
A role that traditionally involves the use of a two-legged actor.
True.
And yet you, a unidexter, are applying for the role.
Definitely.
A role for which two legs would seem to be the minimum requirement. Mr. Spigot, need I point out to you where your deficiency lies as regards landing the role?
Yes, I think you ought to.
Need I say with overmuch emphasis that it is in the leg division that you are deficient?
The leg division?
The leg division, Mr. Spigot.
The leg division.
The leg division. You are deficient in it to the tune of one. Your right leg, I like. I like your right leg. It's a lovely leg for the role. That's what I said when I saw it come in. I said, lovely leg for the role. Lovely leg for the role. I've got nothing against your right leg. The trouble is, neither of you. You fall down on your left.
You mean it's inadequate?
It's inadequate, Mr. Spigot, and to my mind, at any rate, the British public is not yet ready for the sight of a one-legged ape man swinging through the jungly tendrils. However, don't despair, Mr. Spigot. After all, you score over a man with no legs at all. I mean, should a legless man come in here demanding the role, I should have no hesitation in saying, get out, run away.
So there's still a chance?
There is still a very good chance, Mr. Spigot. If we get no two-legged character actors in here within the next 18 months, there is every chance. There is every chance that you, a unidexter, will be the very type of person we shall probably, in some way, be attempting at some time to contact telephonically. I'm sorry I can't be more definite, but you must understand what with all the difficulties of the B.O. Grocer's
This Liam Morrison is a say off his rocker.
With the way this has been going, we'll be lucky if this makes any sense at all.
Yes, Liam Morrison's off his rocker on Merseyland Alternative Radio, mar.me.uk, possibly 105 FM, and who knows, we may be on other broadcast frequencies over Christmas. Anyway, wherever you found us, welcome along. I'm Liam Morrison. That's Morrison with two Q's and only one W. The J is silent. A lot of people get that wrong. Anyway, you heard Spike Jones and his City Slickers and Drip, Drip, Drip. And then from Beyond the Fringe, it was Peter Cook and Dudley Moore with the classic One Leg Too Few. It's just as funny even when you can't see Dudley Moore hopping around on one leg. Peter Cook once described that as the best thing he ever wrote. Certainly one of the most popular anyway. Well, since it's a comedy show, I have to include something on the Clubbo Records label. So here's something by Southern Cousin, that's spelled SUTHRNCUZN. And any resemblance to any other songs you might have heard is purely coincidental.
You're listening to Merseyland Alternative Radio.
Merry Christmas!
Everyone is out to get my fanny. Everybody wants to see my fanny. Everybody likes to hold my fanny. But she loves no one but me. Everybody wants to seize my fanny. Everybody likes to squeeze my fanny. They do everything to please my fanny. Still she loves no one but me. Oh, don't touch my fanny. Please don't ever try. My little fanny is reserved for just one guy. That's why I never let another love light blind me. Everywhere I go, you'll always find me with my little fanny right behind me. 'Cause she's so in love with me. Yeah. everyone who ever spied my fanny tried to hang around beside my fanny. Maybe I should go and hide my fanny, or she'll find somebody new. I've seen lots of fannies in my time, and frequently their cheeks were close to mine, but never have I held one so divine like the fanny that belongs to me. We will be married someday next June, and when we go away to spend our honeymoon, I know that everyone is gonna miss my fanny. No one ever could resist my fanny, but they wouldn't dare to kiss my fanny, 'cause she's so in love with me.
Through every nook and every cranny, the wind blew in on poor old granny. Around her knees, into each ear, and up her nose as well, I hear. All through the night the wind grew worse. It even made our vicar curse. The top had fallen off the steeple, striking him and other people. Oh, it blew on man, it blew on beast, it blew on nun, it blew on priest. It blew the drawers off Auntie Fanny. But most of all, it blew on Granny.
Thank you. Thank you. I hope you know what you're doing.
Well, I've heard that Lee Morrison's off his rocker.
I have accomplished more than most men without the use of my brains.
Spike Milligan again from Muses with Milligan and Granny. There's a version of that poem in his book Silly Verse for Kids, but I think he made a few changes for the version you've just heard. Before that it was Benny Bell from about 1937 and Everybody Wants My Fanny. And how he got away with that in 1937 I have no idea. Starting off the set it was Southern Cousin on the Clubbo Records label. On the Clubbo Records website they're described as being a band from the Deep South. The deep south of Israel, to be precise. And that was called Flying High. And as I said, that's got absolutely nothing to do with any other songs that you might have heard about free birds flying high or that kind of thing. Well, another band that you have to include in any show about comedy records is the Ruttles. If you've got their TV special, the song you're about to hear was accompanied by a terrific piece of animation parodying the Beatles' Yellow Submarine. You'll probably also find it on YouTube and other such places. So this is the Ruttles and Cheese and Onions.
I have always thought that the sends greetings.
M-A-R.
There's a new sound, the newest sound around, the strangest sound that you have ever heard. Not like a wild boar or a jungle lion's roar. It isn't like the cry of any bird. But there's a new sound, it's deep down in the ground, and everyone who listens to it squirms. Because it's new, new sound, so deep down in the ground is the sound that's made by worms. There's a new sound, the newest sound around, the strangest sound that you have ever heard. That like a wild boar or a jungle lion's roar, it isn't like the cry of any bird. But there's a new sound, it's deep down in the ground, and everyone who listens to it squirms. Because it's new, new sound, so deep down in the ground is the sound that's made by worms. There's a new sound around, the strangest sound that you have ever heard. Not like a wild boar or a jungle lion's roar, it isn't like the cry of any bird. But there's a new sound, it's deep down in the ground, and everyone who listens to it squirms. Because it's new, new sound, so deep down in the ground is the sound that's made by worms. There's a new sound, the newest sound around, the strangest sound that you have ever heard. Not like a wild boar or a jungle lion's roar, it isn't like the cry of any bird. But there's a new sound, it's deep down in the ground, and everyone who listens to it squirms. Because it's new, new sound, so deep down in the ground is the sound that's made by worms. There's a new sound, the newest sound around, the strangest sound that you have ever heard. Not like a wild boar or a jungle lion's roar, it isn't like the cry of any bird. But there's a new sound, it's deep down in the ground, and everyone who listens to it squirms. Because it's new, new sound, so deep down in the ground is the sound that's made by worms.
Norwich and Joffy's Rugger.
Just round the bend. I'm going that way. I'll take you.
The Rattles, Cheese and Onions. Tony Borello, The New Sound. Must have had a lot of fun making up those worm sound effects. Then finally it was The Nice and Daddy, Where Did I Come From? Version 2. Well, I came from out of your radio. My name's Lee Morrison. I'll be back in just a moment with more silly stuff, but just for now, it's time to get serious.
How do you think the police spot a drink driver? Is it because they drive with a window wide open to sharpen up? Is it because they drive slower than normal to keep under the speed limit? Is it because the driver is taking a long route home via the back streets? Actually, it's all of these, plus many more. The police know when and where drivers are most likely to drink. So if you're drinking, don't drive. Think.
The music lives on across Liverpool and beyond. We are MDR.
Merseyland Alternative Radio.
This is Merseyland Alternative Radio. We may be on 105 FM. We might also be somewhere else on the FM band, or the medium wave, or short wave. We may even be coming down pieces of damp string, who knows? But you'll definitely find us on the internet with our stereo web streams at www.mar.me.uk. And in addition to all the information about the station and lots of special features, you'll also find our guestbook there. So if you want to leave us a message, please do. If you want to send us a message by other means, you can email us at mar@rock.com. That is mar@rock.com. Or you can text us 07504 464 678. 07504 464 678. Or you can use our Facebook page, M-A-R Pirates. That's M-A-R-P-I-R-A-T-E-S. So you've got no excuse for not getting in touch with us. My name's Lee Morrison. It's the 24th of December, Christmas Eve. Hooray! In about an hour's time, Roger D will be on the air, taking you through into the beginning of Christmas Day. Until then, I'm continuing with Lee Morrison's Off His Rocker, a programme where I put aside the serious music just for a bit to play very, very silly things indeed. And this next one certainly qualifies. There's no jokes in it, but it's one of the funniest things I've ever heard. The Vestibules and a little thing called Bulbous Bouffant.
Hi.
Hello.
Are you waiting for the bus?
Yes, I am, actually.
Hmm. I notice you're not wearing any galoshes.
No, I'm not. It's sunny out. No need for galoshes.
I'm wearing galoshes. Galoshes.
Uh-huh.
Did you read the paper today?
No, I haven't had a
chance. Did you read the thing about the Eskimos?
No.
Well, the article was saying that the Eskimos will eat the fat from the whale.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what that's called?
No, I don't.
Blubber.
Ah, right.
Blubber.
Yeah, blubber.
That's what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
Blubber.
Right.
The Eskimos eat the blubber.
Uh-huh.
And the blubber will come from different kinds of whales, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes it will come from a beluga whale.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Beluga.
Right, yeah.
They don't wear galoshes.
Who, the whales?
No, the Eskimos.
Oh, no, that's right, they don't.
They wear mucklucks.
Uh-huh.
Mucklucks.
That's right, mucklucks.
Mucklucks.
Yeah, mucklucks.
Say it again.
Mucklucks.
Say it louder.
Mucklucks.
Good, eh?
Yeah, it is a good one. I didn't want to say it, but I like
say,
it.
Say galoshes.
Galoshes.
It's good, eh?
Yeah, it's good.
Galoshes.
Galoshes.
Beluga.
Beluga.
Blubber, 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 blubber.
Mucklock.
Blubber.
Excuse me. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt whatever it is you were doing there.
It's okay.
Okay, I just wanted to know if this is where the bus stops.
They should be here any minute, actually.
Oh, I see. Well, sorry to disturb you.
That's okay, we were just,
Sir.
Yes?
Psst.
Yeah?
Look over there.
Across the street.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
See that lady?
Yes.
What kind of hairstyle does she have?
That looks like a bouffant.
Yes, a bouffant.
Yes, a bouffant.
Actually, I couldn't help noticing that myself. It's sort of what you might call a bulbous bouffant.
Yes, a bulbous bouffant.
Bulbous bouffant.
Bouffant.
Blubber.
Galoshes.
Mucklucks.
Bulbous bouffant.
Muckluck, muckluck.
Macadamia.
Ooh.
Macadamia.
Gazebo.
Bulbous bouffant.
Macadamia.
Gazebo.
Bulbous bouffant.
Macadamia.
Gazebo.
Bulbous bouffant.
Macadamia.
Gazebo.
Bulbous bouffant.
Blubber. Macadamia.
Blubber.
Gazebo.
Bulbous bouffant.
Plethora. Macadamia.
Blubber.
Gazebo.
Bulbous bouffant.
Plethora. Macadamia.
Bamboozle.
Gazebo.
Bulbous bouffant.
Plethora. Macadamia.
Bamboozle.
Gazebo.
Bulbous bouffant.
Plethora.
Macadamia.
Bamboozle. Gazebo.
Bulbous
bouffant.
Plethora.
Macadamia.
Bamboozle.
Gazebo.
Bulbous
bouffant. Plethora.
Macadamia.
Gazebo.
Bulbous.
Shindig.
Gazebo.
Bulbous.
Plethora.
Macadamia.
Hullabaloo.
Plethora. Macadamia.
Gazebo.
Bulbous.
Plethora.
Gabardine.
Bulbous. Plethora. Macadamia.
Gazebo.
Tuberculosis.
Plethora. Macadamia.
Gazebo.
Bulbous.
Foible.
Macadamia.
Gazebo.
Bulbous.
Plethora. Bus. Ah, here comes the bus.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
I have never felt finer, said the King of China, sitting down to dine. Then he fell down dead. He died, he did. It was only 9:30.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell ride.
Rocket around the Christmas tree.
Having such fun on Christmas Eve.
We play it loud across Liverpool and beyond. We are M.A.R.
I can't think of a single thing I'd rather do than be cast away on an island with you. No, I can't think of anything more heavenly than to have you shipwrecked on a tropical island with me. Shipwrecked with you, shipwrecked with you. I can't think of a single thing I'd rather do than be cast away on an island with you. Far from distractions and matters of state, we can quit smoking and quickly lose weight, sleeping till noon and then staying up late at latitude 0 and longitude 8. I am a gentleman, should you get hurt, I'll make a tourniquet out of my shirt. You needn't do much, just sit there and flirt. And if it looks drizzly, I'll build us a yurt. I can't think of a single thing I'd rather do, and that's why I had to get rid of the crew. So I lopped off their heads and dropped them in the sea, just to have you shipwrecked on a tropical island with me. Shipwrecked with you, shipwrecked with you. I can't think of a single thing I'd rather do, and that's why I decapitated the crew. How could I know there's no island nearby? If I don't eat something soon, I'll just die. I wouldn't eat you, oh never, not I. So let's catch a shark and I'll make us a pie. What shall we use for bait? Lend me a hand. I'll sew it back on when we get to land. But if the shark takes it, that would be grand, because we won't starve to death, you understand. I can't think of a single thing I wouldn't do to end up shipwrecked on an island with you. No, there's nobody I wouldn't kill, nobody, just to have you shipwrecked on a tropical island with me. Shipwrecked with you, shipwrecked with you. I can't think of a single thing I wouldn't do to end up shipwrecked on an island with you again.
Well, I've heard that Lee Morrison's off his rocker. Lee Morrison's off his rocker, Merseyland Alternative Radio, mar.me.uk and 105 FM, and possibly other frequencies as well. Check the website for details. You heard the Vestibules and Bulbous Bouffant, Spike Milligan and the King of China, and finally the Gothic Archies and Shipwrecked. Well, while I'm on the subject of comedy songs and sketches, another artist I can't possibly ignore is Tom Lehrer. If you heard my End of the World show a while ago, you would have heard a couple of his songs. Now here's a few more of them.
Now I'd like to turn to the folk song, which has become in recent years the particularly fashionable form of idiocy among the self-styled intellectual. We find that people who deplore the level of current popular songs, although I admit they do seem to be recording almost anything these days. Have you heard Sessue Hayakawa's record of Remember Pearl Harbor? These same people who deplore the level of current popular songs and yet will sit around enthralled singing Jimmy Crack Corn and I Don't Care, or Green Grow the Rushes, oh, whatever that means. At any rate, for these elite, I have here an ancient Irish ballad, which was written a few years ago, and which is replete with all the accoutrements of this art form. In particular, it has a sort of idiotic refrain. In this case, rickety-tickety-tin, you'll notice cropping up from time to time, running through, I might add, interminable verses. A large number of verses being a feature expressly designed to please the true devotees of the folk song, who seem to find singing 50 verses of On Top of Old Smoky is twice as enjoyable as singing 25. This type of song also has what is known technically in music as a modal tune, which means, for the benefit of any layman who may have wandered in this evening, that I play a wrong note every now and then. I think this song, though, does differ strikingly from the genuine folk ballad in that in this song, the words which are supposed to rhyme actually do. I really should say that I do not direct these remarks against the vast army of folk song lovers, but merely against that peculiar hardcore who seem to equate authenticity with artistic merit and illiteracy with charm. Oh, one more thing. One of the more important aspects of public folk singing is audience participation, and this happens to be a good song for group singing. So if any of you feel like joining in with me on this song, I'd appreciate it if you would leave right now. About a maid, I'll sing a song, sing rickety-tickety-tin. About a maid I'll sing a song who didn't have her family long. Not only did she do them wrong, she did every one of them in. She did every one of them in. One morning in a fit of pique, sing rickety-tickety-tin. One morning in a fit of pique, she drowned her father in the creek. The water tasted bad for a week, and we had to make do with gin, with gin. We had to make do with gin. Her mother, she could never stand, sing rickety-tickety-tin. Her mother, she could never stand, and so a cyanide soup she planned. The mother died with a spoon in her hand, and her face in a hideous grin, her face in a hideous grin. She set her sister's hair on fire, rickety-tickety-tin. She set her sister's hair on fire, and as the smoke and flame rose higher, danced around the funeral pyre, playing a violin, violin, playing a violin. She weighted her brother down with stones, rickety-tickety-tin. She weighted her brother down with stones and sent him off to Davy Jones. All they ever found were some bones and occasional pieces of skin, of skin. Occasional pieces of skin. One day when she had nothing to do, sing rickety-tickety-tin. One day when she had nothing to do, she cut her baby brother in two and served him up as an Irish stew. and invited the neighbors in. Neighbors in. Invited the neighbors in. And when at last the police came by, sing rickety-tickety-tin. And when at last the police came by, her little pranks she did not deny. To do so she would have had to lie. And lying she knew was a sin, a sin. Lying she knew was a sin. My tragic tale I won't prolong, rickety-tickety-tin. My tragic tale I won't prolong. And if you do not enjoy my song, you've yourselves to blame if it's too long. You should never have let me begin, begin. You should never have let me begin. Almost every day during the hunting season, you see at least one item in the newspapers about somebody who has shot somebody else under the impression that he was a deer with a red hat, perhaps. Maybe a large, flesh-colored squirrel. At any rate, it seems to me that this marks an encouraging new trend in the field of blood sports and deserves a new type of hunting song, which I present herewith. I always will remember 'twas a year ago November. I went out to hunt some deer on a morning bright and clear. I went and shot the maximum the game laws would allow. Two game wardens, seven hunters, and a cow. I was in no mood to trifle. I took down my trusty rifle and went out to stalk my prey. What a haul I made that day. I tied them to my fender and I drove them home somehow. Two game wardens, seven hunters, and a cow. The law was very firm. It took away my permit, the worst punishment I ever endured. It turned out there was a reason. Cows were out of season and one of the hunters wasn't insured. People ask me how I do it and I say there's nothing to it. You just stand there looking cute and when something moves, you shoot. And there's 10 stuffed heads in my trophy room right now. Two game wardens, seven hunters, and a purebred Guernsey cow. Next we have the Dear Hearts and Gentle People School of Songwriting, in which the singer tells you that no matter how much sin and vice and crime go on where he comes from, it's still the best place in the world because it's home, you know, sort of gets you. This example is called My Hometown. I really have a yen to go back once again, back to the place where no one wears a frown. To see once more those super special, just plain folks in my hometown. No fella could ignore the little girl next door. She sure looked sweet in her first evening gown. Now there's a charge for what she used to give for free in my hometown. Druggist on the corner, he was never mean or ornery, he was swell. He killed his mother-in-law and ground her up real well and sprinkled just a bit over each banana split. The guy that taught us math, who never took a bath, acquired a certain measure of renown. And after school, he sold the most amazing pictures in my hometown. That fellow was no fool who taught our Sunday school, and neither was our kindly Parson Brown. We're recording tonight, so I'll have to leave this line out. In my hometown. it, and though it seems a pity it was so, he loved to burn down houses just to watch the glow. And nothing could be done because he was the mayor's son, the guy that took a knife and monogrammed his wife, then dropped her in the pond and watched her drown. Oh yes, indeed, the people there are just plain folks in my hometown. The most popular type of popular song is, of course, the love song, and I'd like to illustrate several subspecies of this form during the evening. First of all, the type of love song where the fellow tells the girl that although the years ahead will almost certainly destroy every vestige of her already dubious charms, that nonetheless his love for her will shine on forever through the years, you know? Another example of stark realism in the popular song. This particular example is called When You Are Old and Gray, and I'd like to dedicate it to anyone in the audience who is still in love with each other. Since I still appreciate you, let's find love while we may. Because I know I'll hate you when you are old and gray. So say you love me here and now, I'll make the most of that. Say you love and trust me, for I know you'll disgust me when you're old and getting fat. An awful debility, a lessened utility, a loss of mobility is a strong possibility. In all probability, I'll lose my virility, and you your fertility and desirability. And this liability of total sterility will lead to hostility and a sense of futility. So let's act with agility while we still have facility, for we'll soon reach senility and lose the ability. Your teeth will start to go, dear. Your waist will start to spread. In 20 years or so, dear, I'll wish that you were dead. I'll never love you then at all the way I do today. So please remember, when I leave in December, I told you so in May.
Well, from a scientific perspective, I'd say that Lee Morrison was off his rocker.
I'm laughing about it right now. Inside. If you were my pancreas, you'd know what I was talking about.
There you go, four songs from Tom Lehrer Revisited. The Irish Ballad, The Hunting Song, My Hometown, and When You Are Old and Grey. Tom Lehrer, one of the great American humorists of the 20th century. Although he never set out to be, he was a university maths professor who just happened to get into writing and performing some of his comic songs in the 1950s, and his musical career was practically over by the year 1970. Even so, it can't be denied that he wrote some of the funniest songs of the 20th century, which is why I'll probably be playing them well into the 21st. Anyway, moving on to some British artists now. Alan Bennett and Peter Cook. This is from Beyond the Fringe.
The great train robbery of over £3 million continues to baffle the British police.
Good evening.
However, we have here with us in the studio this evening the deputy head of New Scotland Yard, Arthur Gappy.
Good evening.
And I'm going to ask him just a few questions about the train robbery.
Good evening.
Good evening, Sir Arthur.
Good evening.
I'm going to ask you just a few questions about the train robbery, if I may.
Good evening. Well, I'd like to make one thing quite clear at the outset. When you speak of a train robbery, this in fact involved no loss of train. Which is merely what I like to call the contents of the train which were pilfered. We haven't lost a train since 1946, I think it was, the year of the great snows. We mislaid a small one. They're very hard. Very hard to lose, you see. Being so bulky, a train is an enormous thing compared, for example, to a small jewel. A tiny pearl, for example, might fall off a lady's neck and disappear into the grass or the gravel or wherever she was standing, the sea even, and disappear underwater. Whereas an enormous train with its huge size is a totally different kettle of fish.
I think you've made that point rather well. Who think may have perpetrated this awful crime?
We believe this to be the work of thieves. And I'll tell you why. The whole pattern is extremely reminiscent of past robberies where we have found thieves to be involved. The telltale loss of property, the snatching away of the money substances, it all points to thieves.
So you feel that thieves are responsible?
Good heavens, no. I feel that thieves are totally irresponsible. Ghastly people who go around snatching your money.
I appreciate that, sir.
You may appreciate that, but most people don't. If you like having money snatched, you must be rather an odd fish, I think.
Who do you think is behind the criminals?
We are, considerably. Catch up with the riches.
Who do you think is the organizing genius behind the crime?
Oh, now, of course, you're asking me who the organizing genius behind the crime is.
You're a man of very acute perception, sir.
Well, let me say this. We think it's a Mindermast.
A Mindermast?
Yes, a Mindermast.
What exactly is a Mindermast?
Well, a Mindermast. A Mindermast is the code word we use at Scotland Yard to describe a mastermind. We don't like to use the word mastermind, as that depresses the men to think they're up against that, so we call it a Mindermast. A futile endeavour to deceive ourselves, yes.
I see.
But we are using the wonderful equipment known as Identikit. Are you familiar with that?
I am, yes.
Familiar with the Identikit?
Yes, that's where you piece together the face of the criminal, isn't it?
Not entirely, no. We are only able to piece together the appearance of the face of the criminal. We can't actually piece the face together. I wish we could. I wish we could, because, of course, once you've captured the criminal face, the other criminal parts are not hard to find. The criminal body is situated directly beneath the criminal face, joined, of course, by the criminal neck. But through the wonderful system of the Identikit, or l'identikit, as the French foppishly call it, through this system we have pieced together an extremely good likeness of the Archbishop of Canterbury. Just like silvery hair.
So His Grace is your number one suspect.
Well, let me put it this way. His Grace is the man we're currently beating the living daylights out of.
And he's still your number one suspect?
No, I'm happy to say that the Archbishop, God bless him, no longer resembles the picture we built up. Changed. I think for the better. He thinks for the worse. Difference of opinion.
I believe some of the stolen money has been recovered, isn't it?
Yes, it has.
What's happening to that?
We're spending that as quickly as we can. It's a short knife, but a merry one down at the yard. Good night.
Good night, sir.
This little story I wrote is based upon fact. It's called The Great Man. The scene is Pune in India, 1927. My uncle was a great man. He told me so himself. He said, I am a great man. And you can't argue with facts like that. He was a tall, handsome, cross-eyed man with eczema, which he was very proud of, as he'd had it blessed by the Pope. He also walked with a pronounced limp. L-I-M-P, pronounced limp. He was plagued with a completely bald head. When he folded his arms, he looked like the pirate flag. Hope came one day when a holy Hindu man said, for 10 rupees, I can cure the European gentleman's head of the dreaded baldness. Now, the treatment involved the great man sitting naked in a darkened room with a mixture of cow dung and treacle spread on his head. Stay in there for 3 days, said the holy man. My uncle did. It didn't work. My uncle hit the holy man. And then he ripped off his loincloth. Alas, the poor Hindu died of indecent exposure. Uncle took to wearing an auburn wig. One day, a hawk swooped down and removed it. In a hairless frenzy, Uncle swore, threw rocks, his boots, his dentures, and part of his truss. But Alas, the hawk flew beyond his reach. Carrying a ladder and wearing a handkerchief over his clawed head, he searched every bird's nest for 50 miles around, but to no avail. Years later, a Burmese naturalist reported a strange find. A hawk's nest made from an auburn wig. Even stranger, it wasn't my uncle's. And the...
Love is mine, thine heart with mine entwine, love, my soul for thee doth pine. Thine eye doth shine, thine life with mine combine, love, thou art my valentine. Lips like apple wine, face like calcimine, oh fine, my clinging vine, my voice for thee doth whine, you're older than auld lang syne.
Twinkle, little star, how you wonder who I am. Way up in the sky so low, you're a better man than I am, old Black Joe. Well, the polar bear sleeps in his little bear skin. He sleeps very well, I am told. Last night I slept in my little bear skin, and I got a heck of a cold.
Bill!
A rinse, oh, what?
Bill!
A rinse, oh, what?
Peace porridge hot, peace porridge cold, peace porridge in the pot 9 days old. P.U. And the boys were hooping it up.
M-A-R.
Hey, Morrison, Joffy's Rocker! From Beyond the Fringe, I think that was the Broadway performance, Peter Cook and Alan Bennett, and The Great Train Robbery. Then a couple of Spikes, Spike Milligan and The Great Man, and Spike Jones and Liebestraum. The insanity continues after this brief moment of sanity.
There's a guy I know. Got himself a gun. Reckoned it would make him more desirable. He was right. Ever since he got the gun, it seems everybody wants him.
Police! Stand away from the door!
Trident. StopTheGuns.org.
M-A-R.
Lee Morrison's off his rocker, MAR 105 FM. And mar.me.uk, a programme of comics, songs and sketches, and I couldn't really do one of those without the Bonzo Dog Doodah Band, could I? That was a rhetorical question, by the way.
One, two, three, kick. Come on, everybody, clap your hands. Ooh, you're looking good. Are you having a good time?
Yeah!
I sure am.
Yeah!
We'll do the trouser press, baby. One, two, three. You're so savage, Roger.
Oh, press those trousers.
Ecstasy, Bruce. Ecstasy.
Son Ted, that's me cousin with his hanky on his head. We booked in at our hotel just after two and met a family from Bradford that we knew.
Had a bit of bother laying turf. It's life, not books, that taught me all I've learned. Whoop, in the oven, my rice pudding's getting burnt. Here, have you seen the new attachment on me drill? I must have the cat put down, cos he's ill.
Hey, neighbour!
Fighting half of the brain pipe, I'm a painted blue.
Here comes the spoon.
My pink heart of the brain pie separates me from the incredibly fascinating story of your life and every day-to-day event in all its minute and tedious attention to detail. And was it a Thursday or a Wednesday or... Oh, no, it wasn't, so who cares anyway, because I do not so normal. If you're normal, I intend to be a freak for the rest of my life. And I shall baffle you with cabbages and rhinoceroses in the kitchen in sets and quotations from Now We Are Six through the mouthpiece of Lord Snoopy's giant poisoned electric head. So there.
the Bonzo Dog Doodah Band, Trouser Press, and My Pink Half of the Drainpipe. Well, one of the genii behind the Bonzo Dog Doodah Band was Vivian Stanshaw, and I've been meaning to play something from this album for a very long time. So here it is, an excerpt from Vivian Stanshaw's masterwork, Sir Henry at Rawlinson End.
On Sensible Common, Hubert Rawlinson, in his mid-40s and still unusual, with his adventurous young nephew, Rafe, are playing cricket. During a break, Hubert, his friend Reg Smeaton, and the rest of the team enjoy a chilled glass of paraffino in the shade of the pavilion. But Rafe has determined he will rid the club of moles. Hubert polished his trident with a sleeve of the white pullover carelessly wrapped around his waist.
"You could see everything from the top of that bus," he said sadly. "We were in Regent Street, and I was looking right into Brainwashing House. I could see them all running around inside, catching diseases and giggling. My father leant across to me and said, 'You'll be in there if you don't stop playing with yourself.' He died of chrysanthemum poisoning. They had to kill all his plants. You know, he was the real author of A Pictorial History of Gargling. A very great work."
Mr. Smeaton froze like a red setter. His conversation of the "you speak, I wait, you pause, I pounce" variety lent exaggerated ear.
"They strapped a bloom to his back and it came up all blotchy. That's why he drank. It was Brasso mostly."
Hubert struck an odd heroic pose. Smeaton twitched and stared up. Hubert, although himself Karloff soft-spoken, liked to hear other people shouting. This he considered not only healthful, but just might, if taken to its illogical conclusion, do away with telephones. Thus, it was not only for speed, stature, and far-seeing that habitually he went on stilts, for also he affected an ear trumpet, with the consequence that confidants stood on boxes or tiptoe or jumped up and up to converse with him. Hubert all times straining, craning, cupping his good ear, feigning non comprendi, and muttering, "Pardon? Come again? Do speak upwards," and etc., at the same time shaking uncontrollably, giggling as his hapless companion empurpled and shrieked. Reg Smeaton said, "Did you know there is no proper name for the back of the knees?" Hubert gestured with his trident.
"Look, there's Rafe," he said with rare insight.
With practiced effort, Mr. Smeaton behaved outwardly, as he knew he must, and screwed his eyes Hong Kong to the distant figure, microscopic and lifelike, shimmering on the pitch.
"He boiled roly-poly puddings in old socks," said Hubert dreamily.
Hubert was unusual. In his adolescence, during the summer, in a northerly direction parallel to the earthly axis, he would throw himself naked onto the lawn, and with that loathsome bluey Roman clock face tattooed about his private parts, think about Jean Harlow very hard, and from the shadow cast, tell the time with remarkable accuracy.
"Look, no hands, auntie," he would screech.
In the winter, he tried with birthday candles stuck in the end. Was hours slow, and Henry told him to put a sock on the sundial bit. And so he contented himself by waiting sentry in the hall and inviting visitors to stand on his feet. He would then give their weight in a dreadful monotone and present them with cigarette cards depicting early flying machines or steam engines. P.C. Gibbon, the long arm of the law, arrested him a few times, but now conceded he was harmless.
"The poor man got his head screwed on wrong."
Hubert insisted he was quite normal.
"I'm confusing cos I'm unusual. I imitate the walrus and the tub. Sometimes I swallow live goldfish. I follow my own bed and there's the rub. In unique circumstances I execute exotic dances. With three balloons I swoon and snake it. It's no bow peep show, I prance naked.
bless me, I confess, I've grown watercress. In my ears drum rather dull. I swim with sandpaper, shave my legs with paint scrapers, smooth but raspberry red, and there's the rum. Sporting different colored socks is thought unorthodox, though I know which leg is where or which. There's cock-a-doodle paradox, cocks a snook and all the schmucks. I wait, but they interpret nervous twitch. My ridiculed bizarrery is only awkward armory. A squawking banshee yells Beelzebub. Mid the Kalahari faces, I'm a freak oasis, an outlandish oddity, a cack-hand commodity, a crackpot laptop. Rub me up the wrong way through, but there's the rub.
Alone on the pitch in his creamy flannels, Rafe lay atop the molehill like a poultice on a green boil, trembling to the wild scrabbling of the blind beast beneath his stomach. By Circe's rubber bra, he fretted, if these things bite, one will be singing soprano. The wind in the willows ruffled the shepherd's harp gold hair of a long, long slumbering child within. The wind in the willows, the will in the windows, the wails of the widows in furry dark soft, overground, underground, tiddlypom, comfy and cosy, tucked in for the night. Mummy! My teddy's stopped breathing! Click. It's all right, dear. A great heaving halted this train of thought at the level crossing of rude, heart-stopping panic. With violent shakes and horrid snufflings, the brute beast surfaced. Edgar Allan Potpourri of eldritch foul imaginings. Snout, flailing claws and bristle. Reason fled shrieking from Rafe's thrilling mouth. Aghast, dry-throated, he drank in that his mind could not comprehend. The thing was grinning with savage glee. Soiled and shabby about its shuddering torso was a white coat, and on its head, higgledy-piggledy, were nine cricket caps, and in its paw it brandished a stump. Spasm, abyss, nightmare and swoon, beckoning void, unsilence and danger. Dan, 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 dan. Dan, 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 dan. Dan, dan, dan. Dan, dan. Ah! Dan, dan. Dan, 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 dan. Back at Rawlinson End, the table was still cluttered for breakfast, and when Sir Henry broke a fast, you cursed double glazing.
Awkward beasts, Winkles, he grunted, stabbing at his plate. My brother Hubert uses them for earplugs.
Old Scrotum looked up from the ironing board, upon which he was plucking the naval fluff and porcupine quills from his master's gargantuan trousers.
Turns my belly to see him of a morning, fiddling about in his lugholes with a pin. Don't know why he bothers, never hears anything I say.
This was true. Henry's rhinoceros tyranny had only the most peripheral and incidental effect on Hubert's life. There was a terrific crash, and a brick smashed through the window. About the brick was wrapped a note which read simply,
"Hello now, I'm your new neighbour."
Henry was plainly delighted.
"He seems a decent enough egg. At least he didn't have the impertinence to present himself at the front door."
He swatted and stamped on a rather beautiful blue butterfly.
Ladies and gentlemen, Lee Morrison's Off-Age Rocker! Vivian Stanchel and part of Sir Henry at Rawlinson End. Not only incredibly funny, but also beautifully written. There's a lot more like that in Vivian Stanchel's John Peel sessions, but the BBC won't release them. I think we should start a letter campaign, don't you? Well, Roger will be here in about 10 minutes. So to get us back in a musical mood, here's a couple of comical rock songs, starting with the Dukes of Stratosphere and My Love Explodes, and after that we'll be turning the music up to 11.
a song that I that is trash, that is dirt, that is filth? What possessed you to write such a disgusting, degeneratized song as that? And I'm complimenting you by considering it a song.
Merry Christmas!
M-A-R.
In ancient times, hundreds of years before the dawn of history, lived a strange race of people, the Druids. No one knows who they were or what they were doing. Hewn into the living rock of Stonehenge.
Stonehenge, where the demons dwell, where the banshees live and they do live well. Stonehenge, children dance to the pipes of Pan. Ho! Stonehenge, 'tis a magic place where the moon doth rise with a dragon's face. Stonehenge,
and the cats meow. I will take you there. I will show you how.
The Dukes of Stratosphere, XTC, and My Love Explodes. And then it was, of course, Spinal Tap with their all-time classic Stonehenge. Also quite appropriate, just a few days after the winter solstice. You've been listening to Lee Morrison's Off His Rocker. Roger D will be here in just a moment. And don't forget, we've got a great lineup of programmes tomorrow and Boxing Day, both starting at 10 o'clock. I'll be getting back on my rocker tomorrow at 7 o'clock with Progressive Rock and Beyond all-time favourites. And at 7 o'clock on Boxing Day, my anorak will be here with some memories from Radio Caroline in 1983. So, thanks for listening. Pip, pip, honk, honk.
So that's the story. And what was the real lesson?
No more curried eggs for me. Ha 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 ha!